And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 215. Folks, I'm going to be short and sweet. Today, we got comedian Kermit Apio on to answer my seven questions. This is actually a rebroadcast. This is kind of a, I brought this over from my other podcast, You're Watching a Movie. I was having Kermit on the show to talk about his favorite film, Joe versus the Volcano. If you're interested in that discussion, go to youre watching a movie.com. We talk about that movie. But I asked him to stay after and answer the world famous seven questions because I was like, hey, I can get a twofer and I need another interview over on Black and a Half. So I did it. So I snuck it in. I'm like a sneaker. I'm a sneaker, like an Adidas, just in there, sneaking in interviews. So here it is. I hope you enjoy. Big shout out to my Patreon subscribers, Tara Widener, Stefan Ward, Keith Nagel. Thank you for supporting the show. It's still going. It's still going on. But sometimes it's that you're watching a movie. So you get two for one. You're supporting one on here for as little as $1 a month at blackandahalf.com, right? At patreon.com/blackandahalf. For as little as $1 a month, you too can become a member of the League of Extraordinary Listeners and support not just this show, but all my projects. You can do that. Or become an elite member like them, the Inner Circle members, right? So do that. Thank you for, I had to say their name. I'm contractually obligated. But thank you for tuning in. So now I want you to open your hearts, open your ear holes, and listen to episode number 215, Seven Questions with Kermit Apio. Okay, so the first time I have people on a show here, on one of my shows, I do the world famous seven questions. Okay. Oh. That I like to ask people. Yes, I know them, but I gotta pull it up every time.
Right.
To make sure I don't mess it up. Okay, so here it is. Silas Lindenstein's world famous seven questions. One day I'll have a big banner that goes when I do that. Right. Okay, number one. What are you most nerdy about? And it doesn't have to be a geek thing. No. But something that you're just ultra into, like that you know a lot about, or you know, it's the thing. Yeah.
Can you be nerdy about sports?
Well, I mean, I have a joke about that, but there's a type. Yeah. I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but
So when I became a baseball fan, in the early 90s, I read a book, someone recommended a book about, sort of the sabermetrics of baseball. And it was the first time I started to understand math. It was amazing. Like, I wish I had read that book before, you know, when I was in college. And so I really love the nerdiness of baseball, and they've kind of embraced it now. Baseball, like some of the stats, like now a player hits a home run and they're talking about exit velo. They're actually talking about the velocity at which the ball left the bat. That is, whoa. So it was like this odd thing that people like sports radio hosts would mock sabermetric people. And
I thought that was always a thing about baseball, was these weird stats that they know about the, against left-handed batters on Wednesdays. Yeah.
There was always that kind of like batting average, the basic stats, but sabermetrics was looking at things a lot deeper, like really as a function of how numbers work. Right. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden these young GMs, there were a couple of young GMs that were using it, and they were mocked because like, no, you can't beat the eye test. I can see when a player's good. I can see what they're doing, you know? And all of a sudden,
is that partly about Moneyball? Is that part of the Moneyball thing?
Yeah. Moneyball is, the book has a lot more information than the movie, obviously, but Billy Beane was definitely one of the first to truly understand sabermetrics.
Was sabermetrics, that on base percent, looking at those kind of things.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, everybody went by batting average. Batting average was the big thing. And then sabermetrics said, no, on base plus slugging percentage. That really tells you what a batter is doing.
Yeah.
And no one cared. Like, no, look at batting average. Well, batting average doesn't help you with, you know, did you get runners in? Because if there's a runner on third and you hit it to the right side, and the runner came home and you got thrown out, batting average says you got an out.
Yeah.
Right. But you did something for your team. So there's, I'm getting way into the weeds about baseball, but I'm
nerdy. Yeah.
So if it's possible to be nerdy about sports, I am nerdy about baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two, I feel like, okay, I already know these. What's something that you love to eat?
I guess we all know the question. The answer, it's pie. I'm very pro pie.
Is there a singular pie that is the pie?
No. Well, there are three. Can I tell
okay.
you?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and in no order, they're all
is that
tied.
A, is this like a holy trinity? The holy yes. trinity of pies? Okay.
That's what I will call them from now okay. on because okay. that's perfect.
Yeah.
There's a Traverse City Pie Company in Traverse City, Michigan has a pie called the ABC. It's an apple, blueberry, cherry pie. And I know it sounds weird, but it is so good. And they make this crumbly top, this cobbler sort of crust top. And it is one of the best things you'll ever eat.
But it is a pie, not a cobbler?
No, it's a pie. It's a pie crust. Okay. And just the top crust is more of a crumble than a, because sometimes they'll put a second crust on there. This one, they put a crumble and it's so good. And then the second one is, in the Sitka Airport. Follow me. There's a cafe in the Sitka Airport. The peanut butter pie at that cafe is unbelievable.
A peanut butter pie. Isn't that just like a jar of peanut butter spread out or what?
No, you make it with peanut butter, but there's a layer of chocolate on the bottom and then a layer of peanut butter. And it's unbelievably good. I was doing a show. I did my pro pie jokes.
Yeah.
And someone told me after the show, what time are you flying out? I said, 5 a.m. And they said, well, you go have some pie. And I said, I'm getting to the airport at 3:30. And they said, yeah, they'll be open. Have some pie.
Yeah.
So I did. I had pie at 4 a.m. and it was unbelievable. So.
Okay.
And then the third one is on the island of Kauai. There's a place called Omoyide Bakery. And they make a lily koi chiffon pie. Lily koi is Hawaiian word for passion fruit. And the lily koi, the Hawaiian passion fruit, has a unique taste. And it's this very fluffy, light, chiffon. So the slice is about that high because it's that much whipped cream and that much chiffon. And it is absolutely amazing because they don't over sugar it. So you actually taste the passion fruit and it sort of reminds me of places I used to go as a kid and pick passion fruit and just eat it off the tree. So those three are kind of perpetually tied.
And okay, I'm going to have to pitch my movie to you later. No, you've inspired an idea. Okay. All right. Number three, what's something that you love to drink?
As far as alcohol, amber beers.
Or doesn't have to be alcoholic, anything. Oh,
but I do like amber beers. It's about the only thing I will drink. Like there are places, and I don't drink that much, but when I do, it's an amber beer. If I go to a place and they don't have an amber beer, I'll just have a water or an iced tea. So I love red beers. Seattle has made me a very beer snob.
Okay.
I think that would be, and other than that, like I like squeezing watermelon and I blend up watermelon and then strain the stuff out. And then,
I was like, I can't squeeze a watermelon.
I'll blend like the lemon? Blend the inside and then run that through a strainer and just drink that. I love watermelon juice that without anything added, just watermelon.
I don't want this to sound racist. Is this a Hawaiian thing? I don't think I've ever heard of this.
It is not a Hawaiian thing. It's something I've developed like in the last.
Did you develop it or is this a thing? Like is watermelon juice? I've never heard of.
I don't know.
Were you high when you came up with this? You're like, what if I strain the watermelon?
I don't know why I started doing it. I think I do because so.
I'm imagining your wife staring at you like, what the hell are you doing?
The first few times, I would cut up fruit and put it in the freezer so I can make smoothies, right? And I'd put little, ice cube size things of watermelon and some other stuff. But I really liked, sometimes I'll just make it with the watermelon. So when they came into season one time, I thought, oh, I'll just try and like, so I did it. I blended it in a blender, poured it into a strainer and got the juice, and I loved it. You don't have to add sugar or anything. It's really good.
Wow.
Yeah. Huh. It's a thing. And my family always gets excited for me in the late spring when the watermelon starts showing up at the grocery store. They're like, oh, dad's going to make his juice. And I just nod like, yeah.
I need to look. I'll have to look this up. I might have to try this. That's so bizarre to me, but it sounds like it would work. Watermelon. Well,
I got a watermelon yesterday. If you want to come by the house, I'm going to make it as soon as this podcast is over.
How many watermelons does it take to get a cup? Like, is this like a, like how watery, how juicy? I mean, watermelons are pretty juicy, right? So
they are. Oh yeah. Yeah. You get a lot.
Maybe this is your thing. Maybe this is your like market, the watermelon. Sell it at shows. Other people have t-shirts. You could have your
my pressed watermelon juice. Yeah.
All right. Number four. What kind of music do you love?
Oh, I'm all over the place, man. I love Hawaiian music, obviously. But I mean, look, I still have a bunch of 90s rap I have on my phone. Like when my phone's randomized in the car, Public Enemy will show up, Third Base. I was a huge Third Base fan in the day, Public Enemy. And so, yeah, a lot of rap. I just about a little bit of everything, pretty much. As a matter of fact, in a couple of weeks, I've got tickets to go see Toad the Wet Sprocket, who were one of my favorite bands for a couple of years. Whoa. They're amazingly good. They're so good.
They're still around.
They kind of weren't around, and they've kind of gotten back together for another tour. Oh, so that's why I'm so excited. But and then on
401k tour, wasn't going well, so we got to fill those back up.
That could be to my benefit, but yeah, that could be it. But and then the other thing is that when I first went on the road to do comedy, you know, because nobody flies you, you're driving everywhere. So I was driving around the country, and I had a car that had only AM/FM radio. It didn't even have a cassette player.
Okay.
So I had a Walkman, but the Walkman headsets would hurt your ear after, you know, it just got uncomfortable after a while. So on these long drives, eventually I would just take the Walkman off and turn the radio on. So there's about a 2-year window where I can sing the words to most country songs, like between like 91 and 93, I listened to so much country music and kind of became a fan of that too. So yeah, I'm all over the place with music.
Man, didn't even have a cassette player. It made me think how my daughter doesn't even know you can't tell every device what to play.
Yes. Yes.
Like songs are just a thing that are available.
Yes.
At notice.
Yes.
From almost everywhere in our house, something you just say magical words and they will it'll play things. And didn't even have a cassette.
Yeah. Whereas when I was doing these drives, I'd be on I'd be on I-90 going 80 miles an hour, and I'd have to take my Walkman off, take the cassette out, grab the case, unzip the case, look for what I want to listen to now.
Yeah.
Grab the case. And even then I wasn't going to hear the song I wanted to hear unless it was queued up to that.
Right.
And so, yeah, you're absolutely right. Just the accessibility, the reaching for a song was a whole different thing. But one of the
reasons I asked this on the show is a lot of I've gotten things I've never heard of because I don't listen to any. I don't listen to a lot of new music now. It takes a lot for me to discover an art. One of the best things about Lyft driving, actually, when I did that, was people telling me about artists, and we would put it on Spotify and play it and go like, oh, I never heard of this. I didn't know this. Yeah. And so it's how I got into British soul music, which I didn't know was a thing. And then someone had played Jamie Lydell for me. And I was like, what is this guy? And what is this stuff? And so it got me really into that genre for a while.
I'll have to look into British soul music.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Awesome.
All right. Number five. What do you love to create?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, obviously comedy. I mean, it's a joy to create comedy, but also, I play music a lot too, and coming up with a riff or coming up with a way to play a cover. If I'm playing a song and I come up with a way to do it, that's, I like, oh, that's kind of a cool way to do it. Cause I do these Wednesday shows on Facebook where I play music, and sometimes people request songs, and, and you know, there are times where I'm like, how would I sing that song? You know, but you kind of figure out, oh, here's a way I could do it with my, you know, on an acoustic guitar with my style. And when that works, man, it's the best thing ever. Like when I can figure out how to do a song in my own way, or when I can come up with a song, like, which doesn't happen that often because I'm not that good a musician.
Yeah.
But I've got about 5 songs, and man, that's a feeling. Cause I was never meant to do that. Right. It's just this hobby I did because comedy became my job and I needed another hobby. So I bought a guitar. And
is there a connection between the two, is there something that you does it hit the same cylinders, creating a joke and creating a song for you?
Wow, that's interesting. I believe so, because you have to kind of figure out where you exist in it, right? I mean, there when you're writing a joke, it'll be effective when it's your sense of humor. Like we were talking about Joe versus the Volcano, you set up your parameters, you set up what your machine is. Mm-hmm. And then the jokes come through that machine that is you, right? And it's kind of the same thing with music. I've sort of been spending a lot of time trying to figure out what I like to play, what I sound like when I do play, and how things come through that. And so even when I'm doing a cover, does it come out in a way where it's my sort of interpretation of it? And man, I think that is definitely similar. It's very linked because creativity is just so much fun when you realize you have your spin or your take or your way of looking at something, right? Not to say that every joke I say is going to be unique. I mean, look, there's thousands of us out there trying to write jokes every day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, not to say that my take's going to be unique, but it started from a place that was mine. So yeah, I think that's similar in both of those things.
I've told people, even if the joke is somewhat the same, right? I think there's a level of authenticity that comes from, I think the important thing is it's authentic to you, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, and certainly with everybody's brains targeting that same topic, there's going to be a similarity. But
there's a formula, right? I mean, there is a thing once you've decoded kind of what makes a laugh, like then, like, unless you are thinking outside the box constantly, right? Right. You're, right. You know, I feel like I've seen when people've hit the same premise, I see the same joke forming between people.
Yeah.
Because they can't get out of the pattern of the way most jokes are told.
Yeah.
So there's like these varying degrees, and it'd be like, oh, their version of that joke.
Yes.
Their version of that joke. Now, how can you switch it? Right. Is probably. Yeah. But I'm always like, I think I get less. I get less about like when people are like, well, they're not original. And I'm like, you only think you are.
Right. Yes.
Just because you just haven't left the area to know that you're not. Right.
That's right.
Because I was in Sacramento and I just heard your jokes from somebody else that just thought of them on their own. But you're just that guy here. Yeah. You know?
Exactly.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Number 6, what's a game you love to play? And it doesn't have to be a video game. It can be any kind of game.
I don't know. A long time ago, I used to like to play Scrabble. But with my wife, it usually ended with the board flying. and by the way, not always out of anger. Sometimes like she could win this game, but she just didn't want to play anymore. Instead of saying, all right, I'm done playing, she would just grab the board and lift it, and, you know, and
it's and the so, analog equivalent of tapping the reset button with your foot, right? Just I just want to play.
Yes, whatever. Yes. Like it wasn't the first couple of times it was anger because she'd be losing and she just, you know, and after a while it became our little joke. Like she would just flip the Scrabble board and just that I guess we're done. So we used to play Scrabble, but I used to love playing it just because when I was a kid, my mom and my aunties would get together and play. And I always wanted to play. Like the other kids would be, you know, off playing with each other, but I would watch and I always wanted to play but I was too young, didn't know enough words, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But I would just watch and I would just sit there and watch them play. And so when I got a chance to play Scrabble, that was a game. But like I said, my wife and I haven't played probably since we had my daughter. So it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Oh yeah, she's 21. I should say
that. Have you not played a game in 21 years?
Well, so when we found Words with Friends,
yeah,
she's on my Words with Friends. So I play sort of that way. But then there are times where she just won't touch it for 3 weeks. Like she won't come near it. You know, like and so because she can't flip the board on that. You know,
She goes and deletes your app just to like, it's gonna happen.
See, if she sees us, you know she's gonna do that because she loves you. She loves you already. So if you give her more ideas.
Oh good. All right. Last question.
Okay.
In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
Oh man. Oh man, you know what? To tell you the truth, I just hope someone out there thinks I was nice. Like that's all that matters. Like I know sometimes, and it's been a big lesson over the last how many years over social media to realize like there is this inside of me that when it comes out can be very not nice. Like you know what I mean? And there was a time where
I've been on the receiving end.
Just the comments and everything And so I ever since I've sort of realized it, I realized, okay, I'll disagree with people and everything, but I got to be better about how I do it. Right. And, or just those whose only purpose is to get that out of me. I don't really need them on Facebook. Right. Because what I've noticed is some of these people who do that to me, they're really nice in person. I get along with them. They're fine. And so, all right. So we could not be Facebook friends, and then when we see each other, say hello, ask each other how our families are, and you know what I mean. Like, and so, yeah. So I sort of realized, like, man, I just want to treat people with respect, and it's always been a thing with me. And I know it sounds so trite and so corny, but it's really true, man. I don't need to be remembered as like, you know, a headline or a comic or whatever I achieved in whatever thing, just because like, man, when I meet comics, I get so excited just because I love comedy. Right. I love comics. Anybody willing to stand up there by themselves and take a risk and take that risk of an audience staring at you, when you talk about your kid or your life or your relationship, anybody's willing to go to that is just awesome to me. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to define myself as like, oh, I'm a comic. I'm part of a thing, which is really cool. And I've been very lucky to pay bills with it for this long. But ultimately, man, I just want people to say like, man, he was a nice guy, or I enjoyed being around him, or that one time when I needed something, he did it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and I know that just sounds so bad. I'm not a religious person or anything like that. It's just one of those things where, when I look at people who have been really nice to me and helpful to me and everything, I honestly sort of sometimes feel like, God, I didn't deserve that. I did not deserve how nice that person was to me. Like that was above and beyond. And so it's always been my goal to try and match that. Although I never will. People have done things for me that I could never thank them for, but it's my goal has always been to make that balance even, to get that scale back up. And so that's it, man. I just want people to say that I treated them with respect.
Kermit Appio, may you live 1,000 years. You know, this has been a great